Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, technology seems to be taking over tennis. There is a world in which there will be no human line judges anymore. And we asked Barry Cowan, the former British tennis player, what he made of that. And he was very interesting, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was good, and it's a fascinating. The world of line judges is more interesting than you might think it is.
Yeah. Jarlath Reagan joined us to talk about a fellow Irishman. Amongst other things, and a new show he's doing, big Liverpool fan. So we chatted to him. And also, what else did we have for you?
We had a birthday spread.
Mm. Now you're talking. It was an interesting one. And we had a bit of a chat about various things, and here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
I'm really interested to know what you thought of that Spurs game. We chatted a bit about it before the show, but that first half an hour, where even without Kane, Tottenham were passing the ball quickly. It was zipping about. They were, you know, Doherty was getting forward, was having a decent game. He looked good in midfield. I thought Lucas looked sharp. And Spurs dominated that game. And Everton just happened to score three goals, which I guess is quite an important part of football.
You sound like the Tottenham manager. We were brilliant. And, you know, those goals, what happened there?
When they scored the first, I was like, oh, well, that is ridiculous because Tottenham had been all over them. And then when they got the second one, I was like, well, this isn't really real. Yeah. And then the penalty was so soft, it probably was a penalty, I guess. But then you're like, how is it 3-1?
Yeah.
I was sort of baffled. But I felt that first half an hour was the most excited I've been as a Tottenham fan watching a Jose Mourinho team. And
even when they were putting 5 and 6 past United and
I thought Southampton winning. I thought Southampton played Tottenham off the park for about 45 minutes in that game. And the United game, United really didn't turn up and had that sending off, didn't they? But actually, in terms of they're playing attacking football, it's not just Kane to Son goal. There looks like there's a strategy, there's a plan, there's sort of attacking in phases, all those things that I haven't seen Tottenham do for months.
Yeah.
However, they did let in 5 and lose.
They did. You know. The thing was, I mean, as you probably are aware, I've given the manager a little bit of stick, and at times he's said individual mistakes let us down, when that wasn't the story as much as bad selection and poor tactics and being very passive. But you can't blame him for last night at all. He obviously sent them out on the front foot, said, they're not going to be expecting this, so get on the front foot. And they did. They passed and moved. It was really good to watch. Mm. If they'd been a bit more clinical, the only criticism you might have, but I don't know what his fitness level was, but if you're going to play like that, and that's the way you've decided to go out and play your game, then maybe play your best player from the start. Because had Kane been out there and been on the end of one that Lucas stuck over the bar and one or two others that they missed early on, I think they could have been 3-0 up and potentially out of sight, as much as you could have been out of sight last night at any point of the game, even if you were 5-0. Why didn't he start? The only other thing I would say, last night it was errors, very uncharacteristic errors from Højbjerg, slightly less uncharacteristic errors from Hugo Lloris and also from Lucas, who lost the ball again, lost possession. We never really got it back, and they scored the Richarlison goal. And the Harry Winks one at the end, it's a routine little pass in midfield. He missed controls, and we don't really see the ball again until it's being picked out of the net for the fifth goal. So he was right last night, Jose. They were let down by silly individual errors, and that's what ultimately cost them.
I mean, we should say, there were the, you know, in extra time, Kane misses that chance, and then Sigurdsson's pass to Bernard and his run is beautiful.
Oh, no, that
Sigurdsson is a
yeah.
wonderful
but
footballer.
It does come from a of ball course. Just running to Harry Winks' feet, and I just don't know what happened, why it ballooned off his calf like yeah. that. But we should also say Everton were clinical, relatively speaking. They made a few errors at the back. Mina let us in for the second goal, but they, you know, the chances they did get, they tended to put them away. So, and they played. Look, it was I understand it was a great game for the neutral, and I in the main enjoyed it. It was a real old ding dong.
Yeah. I like Carlo Ancelotti. Yeah. Sipping on his tea, blowing in his tea. You know, Duncan Ferguson's running around like a maniac.
Yeah.
You know, it was a bit like when Everton scored at the weekend, and, you know, Duncan Ferguson is really hugging Carlo, and he's just standing there, sort of arms by his side, going, come on, Duncan, this is not the place.
Not joining in.
Do you know what? The goal nets at Everton, I don't like them because you can't really see them, and it takes an extra half second to realise it's a goal. Did you find that?
Yes, I did. Not just that. I thought it was an own goal for the second Davinson Sanchez.
Yeah, me too.
I couldn't see his leg until I saw it from a different angle. I don't quite know why that is, but it did seem a little bit odd.
I think the goal nets. Bournemouth had that as well. Yeah. Bournemouth were kind of red and black, and it just sort of they blended into the background.
Yeah.
So you couldn't tell. I'm sure if you could fix
it
them.
It has been the standout game of the round, possibly, of the whole FA Cup so far. It was a real old ding dong.
I tweeted last night that, you know, when they have the round, and they obviously they have all the magic of the round, and they divide it up between the games, and they gave all the magic of the cup to Everton Spurs, and basically all the other games were pretty tough to get through, weren't they?
Now, we want to set the listeners up with something, and I don't know if you saw Pointless last night. I wasn't planning to watch it. I was obviously watching the football.
I was.
And then somebody sent a tweet out, which was picked up, I think, by you, which said, the Premier League assistant referee Darren Cairn is on Pointless. This is not a drill. So, I thought, okay, well, because I've met Darren before, him and Mike Mullarkey and Howard Webb at the World Cup. Andy and I went along and had a chat with him in 2014 at the World Cup. Very nice guys. So I thought, I'll check that out. You don't often get... The only other time I knew about it was Hugh Dallas when he was on Family Fortunes.
Marvelous.
Are you aware of Hugh Dallas on
Family
Fortunes? He was on during the Max Bygraves year. Hugh Dallas was a very famous Scottish referee, did a couple of World Cups, the top referee in Scotland for many years. And this is during the Max Bygraves years. If you've never heard of Max Bygraves, ask Jamie O'Hara, he'll tell you all about him. But this was one of the moments, a good moment for Hugh in Family Fortunes.
100 people to name the first alcoholic drink. 100 people to name the first alcoholic drink they ever tasted.
Whiskey.
Did you? Whiskey? Whiskey, says Hugh. Number six, and you've won a prize already. You've won yourself six bottles of champagne and six champagne flutes, and that's very hard to say.
So there they are. Six bottles of champagne, right. Six champagne flutes for Hugh Dallas.
Whiskey's quite a punchy first alcoholic.
Yeah, I mean,
isn't it? It's not shandy,
well,
is it?
You know, your old nan in Scotland. Oh, my first was Guinness. My Mackeson, my nan used to dip my dummy in her Mackeson.
Oh, really?
So, which is probably explains a lot. And her Guinness, the stout-based drinks. Whereas maybe in Hugh's family, there was a little dram there and the old dummy would go in that. I mean, obviously, not for too long.
Yeah.
This brings us on to... So, yeah, and Darren Cairn, one Pointless.
He did. He got through. He had the choice of acting
with his
MLEs, sailing, authors born in the 19th century, or Johann Sebastian Bach. And him and his mate went for sailing.
Yeah.
The one thing I thought was interesting was when Alexander Armstrong said, what are you going to do with the money if you win? He went, I'm going to go to Vegas. I just didn't have Darren Cairn down as going to Vegas. But that's what he said. Anyway, it was Shirley Robertson, the sailor. That was the pointless answer.
The first one of the three, the one they thought was their less likely. Yeah. So look, well done to Darren.
Marvellous.
Congratulations.
Moment, Darren. Well done.
Was it 1,500 quid?
Something like that.
£750?
Yeah.
You could probably have a long weekend in Vegas for that, unless you don't get on the tables.
Flight's not included, isn't it?
But anyway, well done to him. So we're looking for some random sightings of the officials, because I think back in the day, they had proper jobs. They weren't pros, were they? And below the Premier League, I don't think they are anyway. So it may be in your line of work that you come up against. It might be that you've been sawn off by a ref or a lino at the weekend. Then you sort of pull up to your delivery or whatever, and that same bloke is there who's sawn you off because he's also got a shop or a company. I don't know.
Do you want a couple before we break?
Yeah, go
Oliver
on,
says, Darren Cairn himself was further down the front row from me at a Frank Skinner gig a few years back. Frank asked what he did for a living. Someone at the back shouted, he's a lino. It went downhill for Darren from there, as you can imagine. Charlie says, I sold Lee Probert an under-counter freezer about 10 years ago when I worked for Currys.
What does that mean, like a bit like a dodgy freezer?
That's when I was just reading that thinking, I think it's a, I presume it's a type of freezer.
Goes
not
on,
like a,
not yeah, like, not you like know, pff, I'll tell you what, I've got one here, but if you want a freezer, mate, I've got one down here. Have a look at that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
The Aussie Open, we haven't really talked about it very much. It's, they're not using, humans for, well, it wouldn't be, they're not using pigs.
They
either.
Are for the tournament, not, they are for the players.
They're not using line judges in the traditional way we've kind of got used to in tennis because of coronavirus. They've extended the kind of Hawkeye technology. And some of the players were saying, Jamie Murray's quite taken with it. He said, if tennis goes to full electronic line calling, the pathway, of course, to being an official is over. He said, but I do like it. It quickens up play, no conferencing with calls and no overrules. Other players are not massively impressed. They think the tech's been letting them down. We've had some odd let calls, haven't we, from Nick Kyrgios was moaning about as well. So, the role of tech in tennis, and is it the end of the line judge? And how do you become a line judge? I'm quite interested in the whole world of it, really. It's not a good time to get in, though. I won't be... Yeah, when we get back from Rwanda, I might take it up. Barry Cowan, former British tennis player, joins us now. Good afternoon, Barry.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, Max. I wouldn't want to be a linesman, that's for sure.
I mean,
imagine being abused out by Kyrgios.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I was just thinking that in the games. I mean, what, was there ever a kind of when you were playing and the technology wasn't quite as rife? Did they ever used to say, "Well, why? You know, wouldn't it be great one day? This is not down to humans. It's down to technology."
Yeah, I'm actually, I'm 50-50 on it, actually. We've seen it being introduced now for a few years. And I think when you've got, let's say the O2, for instance, the ATP final, I think when you've got one court and it's a showpiece event and it's indoors, I think it looks slick. I think it looks really good. However, I wouldn't want every tournament to go down that route. And I don't see how every tournament can go down that route because you have to, it costs a lot of money to get Hawkeye. For each court. Mm. I mean, it's all right for the Australian Open because they have the money to implement Hawkeye on each court. And if it's there, why not use the technology? And it saves spending money on officials. But while we're sort of on the subject, I first heard about it about 3 years ago at the US Open that they were very keen to go down that route because, and actually at the time, it hadn't really something I thought about. The umpires, the lines people are sort of part of a union in America. And there was a little bit of uproar, but they were sort of going, well, you know, why am I being shunted out on court 15? You know, I should be on court, I should be on the Arthur Ashe Stadium court, I should be on the main court. Mm. And so they're kind of, they were under pressure. And of course, it takes away that, doesn't it? Because you just let technology take over.
I mean, really, the officials, it's not about them. It's not, you know, it's like, oh, I wonder who's doing, you know, the baseline. I wonder who's doing foot faults on the Arthur Ashe.
I imagine it's quite a bitchy world and there's a lot of bitterness goes on.
Yes, I mean, Barry, I mean, obviously, you know, you didn't have to be a line just because you were playing tennis. But, I mean, what were they like? It's hard to generalise, isn't it? But as a rule?
Well, it depends where you ended up playing. Mm. If it was me, where I end sometimes at Timbuktu. And you know, you would arrive, and this is no joke. I arrived at a tournament, and it's 2 days before the tournament started, and they're actually training the lines people. You know, they've got Joe Bloggs, and they've got Stanley coming from the cafe down the road. Wow. And so, oh, do you fancy line being a line judge for a week at a challenger tournament? So you know that you've got that to think about. You know, it's our profession. And there's these guys, oh, you know, they like tennis. Why not be a lines person for a week? But obviously at the top end, they are very, very, very professional. Yeah. And a lot of them actually travel around the world being lines people.
Well, I was going to ask you that. I wondered if they were part of the circuit, the way the umpires are, or whether they're just kind of, I imagine back in the day, they were just sort of people who came through sort of county tennis and were good at it, and a bit like, you know, amateur football, and it was just a thing you did for nothing. But it's quite a lucrative. Is it lucrative or not?
No, it's not. No, it's not lucrative. And I mean, if we take this country for instance, when I was a lot younger, and I was sort of playing junior tournaments, and then you start on the professional rung. You, what it's called is futures. So it goes futures, which is the bottom rung, and you're literally earning pennies as a player. But you'd see the lines people on your line, calling the calls, And they are putting the groundwork in, because ultimately, what do they want? They want to be able to call the line on the centre court at Wimbledon.
Mm.
And if you don't have the right amount of hours, and it's all about the right amount of hours at the top end, if you don't have the experience on the court at a tournament in Manchester or Leeds, they're certainly not going to give you the chance to be able to call the line on the centre court at Wimbledon. So that's generally how it works. And I think it will be interesting that, you know, moving forward, if we look at Wimbledon, I cannot see Wimbledon going down this route. I really can't.
Well, apparently they're looking at it. There's a few stories. They're looking with interest at what's going on in Australia. And the fact that some of the players are moaning about it may put them off. But apparently they are, certainly at the moment, certainly this year with the virus still likely to be with us, they are looking at it, apparently, Barry.
Which absolutely is right.
Mm.
And their hands might be forced this year. But I think it would be reluctantly, because Wimbledon want to keep that tradition.
Yeah.
And I personally like it at Wimbledon. And as I said, I am torn between it, because there are certain tournaments where I really do feel it works. But I think overall, when you look at every tournament, I do not see it happening in 2-3 years' time. I still think we'll see lines people.
Okay. You know how you can only be a pilot. You know you have to take a certain amount of time off. How long? Because that John isn't
like
a game.
You've got to keep your hours up.
That John isn't a game. No. You've got to have a certain time between games. You have to.
The
powers of concentration, just staring at one line. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
It is. And actually, that match you mentioned, Max, the umpire was Mohammed Layani. And they played, well, it was over 3 days, wasn't it? And the second day, I think it was 10 hours. He didn't get out of his chair for 10 hours.
That's not good.
Wow.
I bet his smartwatch was going off like crazy, wasn't it? You've been sitting still too long.
You know, like builders up a crane take a bottle, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Oh, yeah. What's he going to do?
Maybe the umpire's chairs are commodes and we never knew.
I mean, we've seen some of the Aussie Open umpires getting funny about players taking comfort breaks. One of them said the other day, he said, well, I'll just wet myself then, mate, if that's what you want. So, I mean, you know, maybe if the umpire needs to go, what happens then? Does he say, have you ever been in a situation where the umpire's had to take a break, Barry?
No, I haven't. I mean, I'd be no use. We have 90 seconds between the change of ends to try and somehow pop for the commentary box to make life easier for us.
Good to talk to you.
Cheers,
thanks,
Barry.
Very much.
Yeah, likewise. All the best.
There we are. Barry Cowan, former British tennis player turned broadcaster.
I do like the idea of the line judges actually being like a sort of debaucherous, depraved set, you know, going around the world, having these wild parties. And then by day, they're just working on their quads, just leaning down like that. But then at night, they are off the charts.
People say things, you want to see the line judge. You don't go out with the lines like going out with roadies.
Exactly.
Don't go out with line judges. You're being bits.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Can I thank a friend of the show, Barca Jim, who and CoComs is a difficult job, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you take CoComs literally, sometimes it can sound slightly ridiculous. And Martin Keown is very good at it. He's good on Talksport as well. But he was on. He was doing a City game yesterday.
Yeah.
Swansea versus Manchester City. Swansea City, Manchester City. And he was asked about Phil Foden's goal against Liverpool. Foden was obviously playing well and whatever. He said, what about that goal against Liverpool? And Martin Keown said he launched it into the top of the goal as if to say, I'm now fully committed to my career. Was that the moment?
Well, that's what I read into it.
Do you think, if this goes over, I'm going to do geography at Brunel. Do you think I'm going to pick up a trade? This is the exact moment.
Whenever a goal scored, I'm always looking for the subtext. I think, what was really going on there, apart from a bloke just smashing into the top of the net? It's good that Martin is quite,
I sort of think Phil Foden might have committed to football a little bit earlier than just that moment, but maybe he hadn't
given up on the plumbing. He was still doing that.
Take it or leave it, unless this goes in. What if Alisson had saved it?
Yeah.
God, imagine.
There wasn't much danger of that really at the weekend. We did say to you earlier on that Darren Cann, the top Premier League assistant referee, one of their best, I think it's fair to say, very seasoned World Cup assistant referee back in 2014. He was on Pointless last night. And then he did a game afterwards, so it's clearly Pointless isn't live, is it? We now know it's not a live show.
I think Richard Osman tweeted, fair play to Darren Cann for getting there so quickly after Pointless.
That's right. But we just wondered if you'd had any off-duty meetings with the officials. And you have, of course you have. Ant says, I saw Alan Wiley on the car park bus at the NEC after watching Peter Kay a few years ago. We got eye contact, nodded, and his eyes were screaming at me not to raise attention to him in an enclosed place of beard up men. There could have been a few football fans in there, but for every referee they have good games, they have bad games, but we only tend to remember the bad games, don't we? Which is not fair on them.
Paul said, the legendary George Courtney came skiing with my school when I was 11. When I saw him sat at one of the nearby tables during breakfast, it was a little surprising. He had by far the loudest voice in the room, George Courtney. Many decibels Courtney.
Wow, okay.
And Charlie says, Philip Don was the exams officer at my sixth form.
Wow.
We had him ref a staff v students game, and every offside decision was met with shouts of, there's daylight ref, due to his influence in the season where offsides required daylight between the attacker and the defender.
This is from Mark Carter. He says, Paul Durkin playing crazy golf, family holiday in Ibiza when I was in my teens. Must be great to see someone who's been refereeing a big game in front of 40,000 people just trying to get through the windmill, repeatedly banging into the windmill not working.
A classic text subject of bad memorabilia. You've done it, I've done it. The best one I received was, I have a signed Asda till receipt from Paul Durkin. What's that going to be worth?
Signed
a till receipt. Jason Bourne of Talk Sports.
How did you get your hands?
Well, I didn't.
Was it from a private collector?
The texter did. I didn't.
Sorry.
It's a very specific interest I have in till receipts.
I thought you paid handsomely for it online or something. Okay.
Talk Sports. Jason Bourne says, I was on holiday with my parents in Mallorca in 2002. Next table in this restaurant was Graham Pohl and his family. A polite smile and nod was exchanged.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Graham says, Uriah Rennie in Asda a few years back, trying to decide which £3-for-£1 deal of Golden Wonder savoury rice snacks he wanted. There you are.
This is the Mike Dean one. Steve says, I bumped into Mike in the steam room of my local gym. I just ushered him over and said, under or over on the cards this week, Mike? He just walked away. He said, well, he's got to, hasn't he? He's not going to be given an answer to a question like that.
Did you see this? Lily Sinclair is somebody on Facebook, found a Costco card belonging to someone called Mark and posted, anyone called Mark lost their Costco card, hoping it would, and it's Mark Clattenburg.
Ah.
But obviously Lily didn't know who Mark Clattenburg was, but she did the decent thing.
So that sounds like a sort of referee's fanzine, Mark Clattenburg's Costco card, latest edition.
Well, we've got 2 hours left of the show. We don't want Adrian to get the scoop or Jim to get it tomorrow. Do we know if Mark Clattenburg has got his Costco card back?
Well, I think he listens to Talk Sport. I mean, we can put the word out there. Did he ever get it back? Did he remember losing it? And how seismic was it? Didn't he just go to customer services in Costco, say, I've lost my card, and they did him a new one?
I don't know these details.
Got your photo done again. Yeah, you got maybe, cute to have your photo maybe done
he,
again.
Maybe he liked the photo in his old Costco card. 08717 22 3344. Only for Mark Clattenburg. Mark, yeah, if you're listening.
We're leaving all lines open.
Absolutely,
for Mark Clattenburg.
No other calls are allowed through.
No, that's right.
I should say we should congratulate Bumble, shouldn't we? Bumble's floating on the stock market, 8.2 billion, and he set up 22 million dates.
Hello?
As Bumble. Isn't that very impressive?
How's what are you talking about?
Well, damn, it didn't work, did it? Bumble is a dating app.
Oh, I see.
For the, younger generation.
Although you've asked me to go Rwanda, I'm off the market. I have been for many years.
Well, so am I. I know what it is.
Yeah, but the missus away, you're obviously keeping your eye in, aren't you?
Well, the interesting thing about Bumble is the reason it's been so successful is that women can accept men, but men aren't allowed to accept women. So if I was to try and play away while my wife is not here, Bumble would be the wrong app to use.
Okay.
Anyway.
Is the phrase start the car used at any point on Bumble?
It probably has been. Whenever you get a match, it says start the car. Exactly. And he's from Dorset.
Yeah. We did get a bit West Country.
I've got some interesting esports news.
Oh, yeah.
Pigs can be trained to use computer joysticks, according to researchers.
Really?
A study found pigs were able to move a cursor to hit a wall on a screen and earn a treat. Potentially, there may be more that pigs are capable of learning and understanding and responding to than we've previously envisaged, said Professor Candice Crony of Purdue University, who co-authored the research.
So doesn't it make them sort of feckless? Don't they just sort of sit about playing,
you're on the screen.
Games.
You're on too much get outside.
Too much screen time. affecting their eyes.
Do some wallowing in mud.
Yeah,
but, you know, in years to come...
I've put your swill out. Yeah, just bring the swill here. I don't really want to... I'm halfway through the game.
But in years to come, it could be, you know, those commentators we had on yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, when we're long gone...
Richard and Brandon,
They'll be commentating on humans v pigs in the esports world. Cup of animals.
Pigs versus humans, FIFA World Cup.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Making a welcome return to talk a bit of football and more and tell us what he's up to is comedian and podcaster Jarlath Regan. Good afternoon, Jarlath.
Hello. Hello, boys. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good, thank you. We're good. Before we talk about other matters, we thought you can tell us about your new weekly online comedy show.
Yeah, I mean, I put this on as an online comedy gig for frontline charities, really, so that people can pay in, see an actual gig take place, comedy performed to them in their living room, give them that going to a gig feeling in some way, shape or form. And we let in a free group of key workers every week. So last week it was the teachers and they all bail in. And really, it's been great. We've had unbelievable guests so far, like Joe Wilkinson, Ramesh Ranganathan, Phil Wang. And this week's lineup is Rachel Paris, Luke Kempner, and a bunch of other legends. I mean, it's just it's one of those things you don't think it'll work. And then it does. But I think people are just crying out for live entertainment now, aren't they?
Do the comedians, you know, deliver it just sat, you know, in their tracksuit trousers, just staring at the screen, slightly, you know, badly framed? Or do they stand up and do it like they do a gig?
Yeah, well, this is a really good question, because I think people don't really know what they're getting into with this. But the way it works really is you buy a ticket from returnofthecrack.com. That's our website. And we'll send you a link either for the front row or the back row. Right, the back row, you're watching it the way everybody would on TV. It's streamed to you by YouTube. But if you're in the front row, you're in the Zoom call with the comedians.
Oh.
As you say, it's more of a conversation. So in essence, it's that gig that you know, the way you say, oh, comedians, you'd love to just go down to the pub and have a chat with him. Well, in this kind of setting, I think comics are getting used to the idea that, okay, we're not performing to the back of the room. We're actually in a conversation here where you've got certain things you want to get to, but there's things everybody wants to talk about, and you get to talk about them with the front row. And of course, the beauty of this is if you get heckled by the front row, you just mute them. You go.
I was going to ask you about that. Have you had hecklers?
Yeah, actually, I had a guy last Friday night, watching it from a hospital ward. So his, you know, his heart monitor is beeping. Yeah. It's actually being heckled by heart monitors. It's a hard one because you can't go. Can you pipe down there?
Yes, switch that off, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, turn off that thing. But in a strange way, there's a much more excitement to a heckler in this setting, because people are like, well, what's he going to do with this? Mm. Whereas if you're in the comedy store, somebody starts heckling, there's a little bit of, mate, shut your mouth and let us watch the show. Yeah. Whereas here it's like, let's see how this goes. This is interesting. So I've kind of enjoyed it, the bit of feedback from the front row. And you also get to do that bit of people watching. Mm. So when you talk to somebody in the front row at a gig, you don't know where they're coming from. But here you get to slag off their couch, their paper, their wallpaper, their whole setup. Some people really can't set up a Zoom call, can they? They're either up the nostrils, completely dark, too close to the mic, upside down, sideways. I mean, trying to do it with your parents is any kind of video call with your parents is more challenging than, you know, being president of the United States of America.
So returnofthecrack.com. All the details are there. Right. And is the show tomorrow? You got another show tomorrow, have you?
Yes. Show tomorrow. Ahir Shah, Fern Brady, Rachel Paris, Luke Kempner, who is the man of a thousand voices.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to do a Boris Johnson State of the Nation address that we can't wait for.
He does some great football stuff as well. He's been working. Mikel Arteta is really coming on.
It's not easy to do Arteta.
It's not. But as soon as I thought, where's he going to get hot? But he's found a way in. Right. I mean, he's Arsene Wenger. He's, of course, legendary. Now, you also do the Irishman Abroad podcast. I've been doing that for a long time. And the Irishman
even
Running
had,
Abroad.
Even had Barry Glendening on.
Wow. That's
extraordinary.
Okay.
What a booking.
Now, you know, the former Premier League referee Dermot Gallagher, you may want to get in touch with Dermot. We've spoken to Dermot over the years on the station. He said, he's been on here a lot on the station. Was a regular on the Sports Bar every week. And he spoke to the good people at Paddy Power and did a chat with them. And basically spoke in his usual accent, a Dublin accent. He said he'd had to temper it a little bit in this country. So knowing what Paddy Power can be like, they're quite mischievous. Mm. One or two cynical people in this building. Let's just say, I won't name
not in
him,
this studio,
but he's a cynic anyway. Okay. Not in this studio, but in the room next to the studio, okay, yeah. Saying, is this a Paddy wind-up? Have they got Dermot? And I thought, they wouldn't do that, would they? But anyway, I know you're not from Dublin, Jonathan, as far as I know, but you'd be able to spot an authentic Dublin accent if you heard one. So we're going to play a little bit of what Dermot said to the guys at Paddy Power. Here we go.
When I first started on Sky TV, they were very, very conscious of certain words I couldn't pronounce. And I had to, like, watch the BBC News to try and... words with TH in it I found very, very difficult, so I'd have to practice. I'd be dreading them, say, was it a Thursday match and whatever, and they were trying to explain to me there was a H in the word Thursday and it wasn't T-U-R-S.
There we are, Dermot Gallagher. He's never heard him before.
Unbelievable that someone at Sky would say you can't say Thursday. Like the viewers would be just blown away by having an Irish accent.
They wouldn't say it to David O'Leary they wouldn't say it to Roy Keane, no. Certainly, or whatever.
Come on Roy. Yeah.
So, what do you make of that, Jonathan?
Well, I do know Dermot Gallagher is a Dublin man, born in Ringsend, I believe. Mm. So that accent sounds an awful lot like the accents that you'll see at the London Irish Centre in Camden. You know, somebody who's been in the country a long time. I think that's legit. So
good.
I know.
Well,
I good authority.
We felt that. We felt that was the case as well. So maybe could he be a future subject of the Irishman Abroad?
Not a bad shout. I actually did have a referee lined up to do the show. I can't remember what his name was, and then it fell through because these guys, he was active, so they're in demand all the time. But it's such an interesting subject now, and I think the last time I was on, I was talking about this and the rules and the kind of subjectivity of rules, the way things are going and how we need to fix it. But yeah, Dermot Gallagher would be a great shout. I must get in touch there.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see if we can help there. Irishman Running Abroad, you've told us about as well. How's the running with Sonia O'Sullivan? How's the running going? Because you were doing pretty well, weren't you?
The running is going great, I'll be honest with you. The challenge to start with is telling yourself, I can do this, right? Mm. Because if you are a non-runner, your experience is usually after Christmas thinking, I'll go for a run here. And then you come back so sore that you go, I'll run again next Boxing Day. Yeah. Won't be doing it until then. But really what Sonia taught me was just that gradual build of a base of fitness. So you start by walking, a little bit of running thrown in, then go back to your walking. And really just taking it that tiny, slow baby steps along the way. has helped. Now, I haven't been able to avoid injury because I turned 40 during the summer, and you're going to pick up niggling little pains,
yeah,
just like you would anyway. But this week we had an amazing episode where Sonia O'Sullivan, who everybody knows, Olympic silver medalist, world champion, world record holder, she basically opened her medicine cabinet of potions and ointments and gels that she's picked up over the counters across the world over the years that have helped her with the niggly muscle and joint pains. And it was unbelievable to hear some of the stuff she was pulling out. Emu oil was one of them.
Really?
Like, what?
Emus are quite fast, I guess.
Yeah, they are. So it all helps. If it helps you go as quick as an emu. Yeah.
What's that even made out of? Like crushed up emu.
Stick an emu in a NutriBullet. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's
off you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's been fascinating as well. And yeah, we've got a Gaelic Games guest on this Sunday on the main interview, who's a hardcore Liverpool fan like myself. And tough times for us.
It is. You know what? We've run out of time. We didn't get round to Liverpool. But maybe that's a good thing at the moment. We'll come back to you when they've turned things around. We'll catch up with you soon, Charlotte. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good to talk to you, boys. All the best.
Cheers, mate. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Time then for the birthday spread. Andy Jacobs will be bringing us the gags. Jeff Peters is our score. It's very simple. Andy's going to set us 10 people whose birthday it was this week. We've got to try and guess how old they were. The one with the smallest margin of error over the 10 birthdays, the least years out, is the winner in the last 4 weeks since we've been doing this. I've been the winner, but that could change today. Max has certainly put the hours in. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yeah, I'm having a few technical issues. Moose sounded terrible.
But, oh, did he? Well, that's a bit harsh. Everyone's a critic. You meant the sound quality, was that the audio or the content?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, look, can you hear us now?
Oh, I can hear you. Oh, good. If you can hear me, that's
fine. Absolutely hear you, and I'm just going to listen to your wonderful jokes and not care about the score.
I don't, as I said, I don't expect any laughs, just the courtesy of listening.
Okay, you put the work in. Okay, Jeff Peters is going to keep score. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Afternoon from the birthday spread scoring nerve centre.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Really, I just see this hubbub of people. How can you socially distance with that level of noise? It must be like an aircraft hangar.
We should say hello to Muzaffar B, who has an entire spreadsheet of all the scores. So I don't know if you're hiring Jeff in the near future.
Yeah. If you want somebody to join you there in Stockley Park. So, should we crack on? Pele's ready. Here he is.
Yeah, good.
First birthday. Okay, do play along at home, folks. Have a guess along with us.
Okay, a nice easy one to start with. The TV presenter Holly Willoughby, and she's got a large forest at the end of her garden where she holds these legendary parties. I was really surprised to see Frank Lampard at the one I went to. I hadn't realised Frankie goes to Hollywood.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yes. Do you want to kick us off?
I have to hold my hands
so
up.
So do
the
I.
Air.
Yeah, this is a gimme.
She's
for
40
both.
Years it's old.
She's in all the tabloids today talking about there being 40. But you've done the gag, Andy, and you didn't care, did
what
you?
A beautiful what a beautiful moment there. Yeah. That was like Canio catching the ball.
It was. We had a fair play moment. Did, like one of those slow-mo FIFA moments from a World Cup.
The crowd are applauding.
40. So the score. We know the scores, Jeff, don't we?
It's Paul nil, Max nil.
Beautiful.
Yes. This will separate the men.
Okay. Who's going to go? I'm going to go first. Okay. Next. Go on then.
It's the president in the Institute of Physics and chief executive of Oxford Instruments from 2005 to 16, Jonathan Flint. Jonathan Flint, and we were at a charity do, I think it was Nordoff Robbins, if I remember rightly, and I introduced him to City centre half John Stones. I said, Flint, Stones, meet the Flint, Stones.
Very good.
production.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Jeff
didn't deserve that.
Jeff's doing production now.
I had a feeling that Andy might go down that route.
Yeah. That was good. Well anticipated there.
I'd say 68. Andy, what do you think, Max?
72.
Jonathan Flint, 60.
Okay. What's the score, Jeff?
It's Paul 8, Max 12.
Okay, Max is first next. Take it away, Andy.
Okay, if Jeff's got the theme for this one, I'll take my hat off
to you. I haven't.
Okay. It's Len Skeet, the jazz... I think, what was he, Len? He was a jazz bassist. Len Skeet.
Oh, no.
I should know that because I used to go around to his house every weekend for a roast dinner with the late, great David Vine. Oh, we love Skeet Sunday.
Come on.
Come on, Jeff. Where's the...
Exactly.
Is it me to go?
It's you to go,
This is the moment in the birthday spread. So early where Paul goes, I think Len Skeet's a bit older than that. 71.
I actually do. I think Len is probably a bit older than that.
Ah.
I'm going to go 84.
He's 84.
Oh, no. So much work. I've got to go Bielsa ball straight away.
So it's Paul 8, Max 25.
Okay, 8.25.
I almost
swore
there.
See how much he gets into this. It's embarrassing. Anyway, what's next, Andy? Next game.
It's the great singer-songwriter Carole King.
Oh, wow.
And who can forget her genre-defining album about eating Spanish nibbles in an arboretum? Yes, tapas tree.
Oh, blimey. Yeah. Blimey. Well, she's got to be in her 70s, isn't she? Early 71, I'm going to go. Carole King.
Oh, 74.
Okay.
Oh, Max is back there. She's 79.
Wow.
I could have got more, but it's okay.
You've inching back. That's right. You've got to score just before half time, like Eric Lamella.
So Paul is 8 out. Yeah. Max is 5 out. Paul is on 16. And Max is on 30.
Okay, come on.
Oh, okay. Next up.
Right. A very happy birthday to the economist Guy Standing. Guy Standing. And I bumped into him, actually, outside the Deedpoll office. He was going to change his name to Elton Johns, but he changed his mind. He told me, I'm still standing.
Of course he did.
God, talk about seeing it a mile off.
Yeah. But you can't do anything about it.
But you've got to enjoy it still.
You can't do anything about it.
What do you think? I hope Andy's enjoying me loving this. What do I think? Guy Standing. Well, I think Guy Standing is...
Go on.
58.
Yeah, I would have said around that.
Do you know who he is?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Sorry, Guy, if you're listening. Why so? 59.
73.
Oh, blimey. He'll be pleased. He obviously will be pleased.
I think given how far ahead you are, quite dirty play from you just there, just to go.
No, but that's what I thought. I've got to be honest.
Thought,
Guy
Standing.
I can say 16 if you like, but I'm wasting everybody's time. So, what is he?
We might be arguably wasting people's time right now.
We've already established he's 73.
So, Paul is 14 out, Max is 15 out, Paul is on 30, Max is on 45.
How are you getting on at home? Oh, very good. You're better than us.
Probably turned off with
Mike. I can't imagine. Yeah.
Come on, Andy. Cambridge United right back. Come on, Andy Fenton. Okay. Here we go.
Yes, Cambridge United women's right back, Amber Valletta. Right. Also supermodel and actress, Amber Valletta.
Amber Valletta. Wow.
Yes. I was taking part in a celebrity Formula One race, and she was in the pits, but I didn't see her. I drove straight through Amber.
Oh, dear.
God, that's a bit dark.
It's quite dark.
I don't know.
Oh, she went to the United... Didn't she go to the United States? Valletta from America.
Valletta from America.
Well, here we go.
I was once doing the news on a radio show where the presenter said, look, you can join in, but as Tom O'Connor says on Crosswits, I do the jokes.
By the end of this, us three will be redundant. It'll be Jeff doing everything on his own. The jokes, the scoring.
Jeff will be getting a memo after the show from Andy's department. Amber Valletta, I don't know her. This is a seismic moment, seminal moment in this game. She could be anything from 80, she could be an old model, she could be a current one. I'm going to go current. 44. What do you think, Max?
29.
Ooh,
she's 47.
Oh, no! There's a fact she wasn't just a model, she was an actress and she'd done other stuff.
You've thought it through, I see.
Well, yeah, that's what you do. That's why I say you get good at this game, Max. Put the hours in.
So, Paul is 3 out, yeah. Max is 18 out, Paul is on 33, Max is on 63.
He can come back. It's only 30 in it. How many left, Jeff?
Four.
Go on, keep going, Andy.
Okay, very happy birthday to the theatre critic, Susanna Clapp. Susanna Clapp.
Where are we going here? Get your finger on the dumb button.
She's a massive fan of the albums of Mariah Carey. But every Thursday night at 8 p.m, she stands outside her house showing her appreciation. Yes, it's Clapp for Carey's.
Clap for Carey's.
Susanna Clapp.
Could have been worse.
What did she do again? I was too focused on the joke. What did she do, Susanna Clapp?
Theatre critic. Gone the other way. Yeah, now it's going to blame me.
She's a theatre critic and she is 48.
I don't know. I'm going to go 60.
For goodness sake. Come on, I've got to take some risks here.
Clickety click 66, Andy.
She's 72.
Okay. What's that done to the scores, Jeff?
So Paul, you said 66, didn't you?
Yeah, yes, I did.
So she's 6 out. Max, you are 24 out. So Paul moves on to 39. and Max moves on to 87.
Okay, I might just play around at the back for the last. I might just take it in the corners.
I'm looking for a vote of confidence from the director of football.
Go on, Andy, keep going.
Okay, the very happy birthday to the swimmer, the great Olympic champion, Mark Spitz.
Oh, yeah.
And he also tried his luck at competitive open water swimming, but was nowhere near as successful. He was just a Spitz in the ocean.
Good.
That could have been worse as well.
Yeah, it could have been, yeah. I'm first, aren't I?
You are, yes.
I thought Bob Carroll G's was turning up at any point.
Well, that's why I got the sound effect of...
Oh, OK, fair enough. Mark Spitz has got to be getting on. What is he, about 64 now, I'm going to go. Max, what do you think, Mark Spitz?
I mean, I think about right. It's this tricky position for me here, but you're just for pride.
Don't pride, because you've got 2 hour opportunities to bring this back.
OK. 67.
Well, a little bit back. He's 71.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
So Paul is 7 out. Max is 4 out. Mm. So Paul moves on to 46. And yeah. Max narrows the gap by moving on to 91.
Okay, right. Is it 2 left?
Yes.
2 left. Yeah, 2 left. Yes, it's the chairman of the Defence and Science Technology Laboratory from 2014 to 19. Director of GCHQ. A lot of titles. Sir David Pepper.
Right.
Sir David Pepper. One time he was based in Bahrain. They treated him like royalty. Yes, he was known as Salt and Pepper.
That's very good. What do you think?
I think Sir David Pepper is 67.
Okay, I've got to be true to that. I'll go 68.
I've got no chances.
That's Sir David.
It's absolutely disgraceful.
Well, look, you look at the years.
I agree.
You look at the years. No.
Phil, you're 4 years.
No. You look at that. I could have said he was 17. I'll probably still win.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. If you like, out now.
Bring your mates and bring your dinner. So that's what I've gone with anyway.
Nasty side of Paul Hawksby. You never knew.
It's all coming out now.
Yeah.
So Paul is 5.
Well, how old is he?
How old was he, Andy?
Oh, sorry, he's 73.
Oh, sorry, 73, okay, fair enough.
So Paul 5 out, Max 6 out, Paul on 51, Max on 97. So there's 46 between them with one to play.
I'm using the same thought processes as you, though, Max, because obviously you looked at his years when he was in the job, so I'd be mad to say he's 93 and I'd be mad to say he's 22. So I have to be true to the game, still, otherwise I'm a fault to myself.
I understand.
It was not S-housery on any level.
And Paul, you have to go first on the last one as you're in the lead.
Go on then, yeah. Go on, Andy.
Okay, changing the running order, Jeff. It's no longer Robert Wagner. It is Philip Glenister, the great actor. Philip Glenister. And he was a hero recently when he alerted the emergency services to a nasty situation at the house of the singer of Can the Can and Devilgate Drive. Fire up the quattro, he said.
Very good, yeah, for fans of Life on Mars. Philip Glenister, that's a very gettable one, isn't it?
That's gettable.
57. What do you think, Max? See, again, you're going to have to be true. You can't say 93 because you know he isn't. And you can't say 10.
Try and win. I was going to say 10, but okay.
You want to say 10? No, don't say 10.
What did you say?
I said 57.
57. I think he is 54.
Well, he's 58.
Oh, okay.
So, bad luck. I suggest that, Max, next week you don't listen to the jokes.
That's where you went wrong. You listen to the jokes.
So Paul is 1 out, Max is 4 out. Paul finishes on 52, and Max...
It's Len Skeet's fault.
It is Len Skeet's fault,
And Max finishes on room 101.
101.
Oh, wow.
That was your worst performance so far. I think you've just got to relax. Just relax. You're taking it far too serious.
He was only 1 out last week.
He was, and look at that now.
And I had a draw the week before.
Oh, no. So, look, don't worry. You just... You'll be back.
We go again.
We go again.
6-0 to Hawksby.
Thank you, Jeff.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you, Andy. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, pleasure, guys. Thanks very much.
Andy Jacobs returns tomorrow. Come on, Max.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. And we'll do it all again. Max, you're back with me on Tuesday, aren't you? No, you're not next Tuesday.
No, I'm not Tuesday. No. Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Yeah, Charlie Baker with me Tuesday.
I've been suspended for one game.
after that birthday spread. That's right. It's been kicked out. Charlie with me on Tuesday. Andy Jacobs back tomorrow. If you can listen from 1 for clips of the week and more, great. If you can't, the podcast will be available at around 5.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.